So we're halfway through our sabbatical from Dave. And or is it Dave's sabbatical from us? You got to try to figure that out. And we're halfway through the spring and summer series called Sacred Pauses, Spiritual Practices for Personal Renewal. Any of you feel like this has sort of scratched you where you spiritually itch, this whole thing? Okay, I see. Couple of people. A quick reminder, we started with Dave, and he did Creative Space, How Do We Continue to Create Space for Our Spiritual Journey? And I guess one of the questions that rises in my mind anyways is, you know, do we ever stop learning? Do we ever stop growing? Why would we do that? The second Sunday, slowing down, the word picture of coming to a gravel road and having to slow down, not to create a dust storm. And have there been practical ways you've slowed down in the 10 weeks that we've been on this little journey together? Week three was becoming quiet. I found one of her interesting questions, is there any experience where we can be completely without sound? I like her focus on when Jesus was silent. What sorts of situations was he facing when he just was silent? Engaging the scripture, I was intrigued with the scriptures that she suggested we read in the sidebar in page 53. If you were writing the book, if you were doing something on sort of spiritual awareness and growth, what scriptures would you put into that sidebar? What sorts of, have there been scriptures that sort of have pierced you in some ways and have stayed with you? Praying it like it is, that was Chris's turn. Have any of you changed your position on prayer? And I don't mean going from kneeling to standing or whatever, but just has your prayer life been changed slightly through this process of coming together and hearing these messages? Getting outside, has your view of creation changed while you have been creating sacred pauses? And I think that was Lawrence's, and I think he sort of said at the beginning of getting outside, he was going to take us just on a slightly different place, which I appreciated. Number seven, the seventh week was one sermon, one city. That was the challenge by Andrea Reimer, the council member in Vancouver, to say why couldn't churches get together and just have one sermon title. And a number, over 28 different churches in the Lower Mainland decided to do that, which we did. So we were slightly outside of the curriculum at that point. Then number eight was being alone without being lonely. And that was when we had Patrice, and he gave his sort of message, and that also was sort of left aside. And at some point, maybe we might want to discuss, can you be lonely and not be alone? And then last week, we had this wonderful time together with three different people up here. How many of you were here for that? Can I just see? Yeah. I was really thankful for Cheryl and for Michael and for Timothy to give us this very creative, I thought, way of presenting. And one thing that Tim had talked about is community and connectedness, how do they go together? Is just having that cup of coffee after the church, is that going to really create the huge community that we want this to be? And I think his words from a young man, which I took in, I can remember having said some of these sort of same things, is that you know, maybe we're going to have to give a little more. Maybe we give a little more time. Maybe we have to actually look around and see the people who are beside us. We don't get taught these skills very much anymore, where we sort of look and see somebody and say, is our first way of discerning between people? Is it I'm not like them and they're not like me? Or is my first place of discernment, oh, that I'm like that person? The incredible thing is, no matter who you take on the globe, if we prick our finger, we all bleed. And there's 7 billion people on this earth right now. They will all bleed if you prick their finger. And some will die because of that. But that's a whole different topic, so let's not get into that. I begin this morning with a confession. Well, maybe two, maybe three confessions. So, I just want to warn you before we get started. I got to tell you that my goal in this sermon is actually not to make you feel comfortable. Now, that is always difficult when the message you think you receive from God sort of makes you feel uncomfortable, and then you have to give it, and you know that it's going to give most likely pause to other people and might make them feel uncomfortable. But consider the topic too, giving. Who would ever want? I can remember Neil talking and saying at the beginning of his little talk, now maybe I've got it all wrong and you can tell me later, but at the beginning of his talk on giving, he just sort of said, how can he tell us to give? Because that whole sermon was for him. And in many ways, this whole sermon's for me. But I think it's around this idea of, I will say some things that I realize could cause you to feel uncomfortable. I mean, I could have started this presentation by making some of you feel uncomfortable. I know that. Because you've told me that some of the things that I do up here make you feel uncomfortable. And I thank you for telling me those things. I still think that church is not a place that we're supposed to always feel comfortable. It is not a place. When you're dealing with the mystery of who God is, when you're dealing with the creator of the universe, and we are part of that creation, I think it's just normal that sometimes we're going to feel uncomfortable. So I know that some of you may have felt uncomfortable even in the passing of the peace with these questions. And this is an experiment that we're trying for the, 10 weeks of Christmas, yeah. That's the way I look at summer. It's just one big Christmas. No, it is the next 10 weeks of our time together in this particular study that we're going to have a question come up. When the coordinator says, or the worship leader says, it's time for passing the peace, there'll be a question up there too. And while you're standing and up and about and moving and already uncomfortable, just look up and see the question and just, be brave enough to say, what do you think about that question? We had a nice little conversation with a couple of people just asking that question. And it's an experiment. So, like all experiments, it's going to come to an end. So you can either embrace the experiment, or you can decide, and you may do this on different days. You may embrace it one day when you got up and had your coffee, and when you got up the other time and didn't have your coffee, you may not want to embrace this. And so you can sit down and not embrace it. But my goal, as I thought about this, was simply that we need places to continue just chatting. And I take Tim's word to us about downstairs, clutching our coffee. It's just one place. And this is another little place. So this topic of giving is uncomfortable. Let's face it, it's a whole topic of giving usually makes some of us very uncomfortable because it talks about what we're going to do with not only our resources, but who we are as people. Maybe another topic which makes us even more uncomfortable than giving is dying. Have you ever tried to start up a conversation about dying with somebody? It's really uncomfortable. Some of you know about this because you work and volunteer at hospices. But they can also be very rewarding at times. And it's really interesting to put those two together, the topic of dying and the topic of giving. Because we can only give if we really die to ourselves. It's when ourselves are not put first, but we realize that the Creator is first, His Son, His Spirit, the Fatherhood is first, and that others are to be loved as well. And that's why, you know, I've heard lots of times that, you know, well, giving is my private domain. I just am the one who knows about that. You know, I think one of the songs, I think it was the second or third song, that one of the last lines was the fact that we give our total selves to God. And that's the theme of some, in some way, of this, is the second theme. The first theme is that sometimes church is uncomfortable, and the second theme is that we are to give our very selves. Because we're told to love God and to love others, and to love others is messy and hard and uncomfortable. Last Tuesday night we had a friend over who we got to know when she was about 15, 18, somewhere in there. It's a long time ago. I can't remember exactly. But I think, long time being, I think it's over 35 years. On March 1st of this year, her husband was in the Calgary airport coming home, readying himself to go on a trip with his wife to Sydney, to Australia, and having this wonderful time. He had a brain bleed, and he was basically brain dead in the Calgary airport. And 2 days later, he came home to finish the journey of death. I want to share that Tuesday night was somewhat uncomfortable. We hadn't seen this person for a number of years. But we knew that she was grieving. And we were grieving with her and for her. So it was uncomfortable, but what was it? It was real. It was authentic. It was what we call loving one another. It was presence. We can't... Yeah, I won't go there yet, quite yet. So I hope that you have some real and authentic encounters that might be uncomfortable. And those that uncomfortableness may be something of, you know, you trying to say, I can't share that about me, because if I share that, they're not going to like me, or they're going to put me out, or they're going to, like, put me aside and put, you know, sort of push me away. But what happened on Tuesday night was somehow a little bit, and I know this is presumptuous of me to say, but somehow the kingdom of God was happening on Tuesday night in this relationship that we were having. There was something much bigger than who we were as individuals. We all had tears. And it's interesting, you know, the Celts, and some of you have heard me talk about this before, the Celts have this idea that there are thin spaces and thin places, primarily thin places. You know, the seashore, when the tide goes out and comes back in, just the life and everything that's there. I want to tell you that it was a thin space. Heaven and earth were very close on Tuesday night. And were we laughing and happy, you know... I can't remember. There may have been once that we laughed. But it was real and authentic. It wasn't seven steps to how do you help someone grieve. It was being real with people. Authentic relationships can be difficult to live out. Maya and I were attending a regular meeting we were involved with, and one of the members was dying of cancer. They told us they were preparing for the final exam. This struck me as odd, because at memorials I facilitate, I focus more on death not as a final exam, but death as a graduation. That we are going from one space to another space. in a graduation. And some of our indigenous friends, who I do memorials with, talk about the journey home to the Creator. They talk about being in their canoe, pushing off the shore, and moving across to get to the other shore where all their relations are waiting for them, and the Creator as well. And when they say all my relations, I can only think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and just how that is part of not only our faith journey, but obviously our Jewish friends. I read Isaiah 26, verses 6 and 8 at every memorial I do. I read it 3 times this week. Perhaps another way to frame this would be to ask the question, what's your life driven by? What's your faith life driven by? Is it driven by fear of the final exam? Or is it driven by the idea that there's graduation? Did Jesus, and I realize this is uncomfortable stuff to talk about, because I may be talking and you may be thinking, it is, you know, I absolutely don't want to go down that road. I just want us to receive a breath at this point. I need to receive a breath. And if you want to breathe a breath from the Creator as well, go ahead. Is our life also motivated, or is it motivated because of the radical welcome that God has for us? The radical welcome home of the prodigal father. Is it moving down that road or another? Now, some are going to say, well, it moves down both roads. I understand that. But I think there are roads which we lean into. At the essence of all this is the 3-in-1, 1-in-3 God, who is in relationship already. Don't understand it, but have 3, Father, Son, and Spirit, are in relationship before the beginning of creation, before time, and is still in that 3-in-1, 1-in-3. And at the core of that relationship is eternal love. We live out our lives within a community of shared relationships, relationships which shape who we are becoming and who you are becoming, the ones that we are relating to. When we do not operate out of this place of love, we operate out of a place of what I would just simply say is selfishness. So I confess that I find that this an uncomfortable sermon. I'm an introvert at heart. Someone else said that today. Did you say that today? Maybe not. Maybe I just heard it in my head. I'm sorry. I do not particularly like chatting with folks, even though I do. I don't usually go down for coffee after church, and at one time in our journey here at Killarney, that was seen as a lack of commitment. I see it as a way to survive, to not go down. Not just because there are times when crowds and just take a lot of energy from me. And right now, it seems like I'm in a place where there's just lots of times when there's lots of energy flowing out. I do say, however, and confess that I need to give of myself to this place and to this community. In my worship report for the last couple of years, I have finished with a couple of thoughts. And they are this: to the saints at Killarney, may we become better lovers and worshipers of God in this year ahead. God is the one who initiates. We only respond. May we hear the call of his invitation in life-giving ways and respond with authenticity to him and to our community. And I ask you to join us in this messy, hard, sometimes painful, sometimes joyful relationship with our God and each other. Are you willing? Is the question that I ask at the end. Church can make you feel uncomfortable, and we must discern when it is God making us feel uncomfortable and when it is our own inner voice saying, we've never done it this way before. Why are we doing it this way? They don't need me anymore. Why can't I be involved the way I was? We all have inner voices, and they all tell us different stories. My hope and my prayer is that even when we're uncomfortable, we will hear the voice and see the hands and the feet of the Creator who welcomes us as we run to him. That we would remember that at the essence of who the Creator is, our God, not only is mystery, not only is love, but is relationship. And that's how we play it out between one another, is in relationship. Thank you for the way that you shape me in the relationships that I have in this room. My prayer for us all is that in those moments that we're uncomfortable, that we might in fact try to see if this is God. And that Killarney would continue to be a place which in the community seems to be received as a church that gives to the community in all sorts of different ways. May our church be known as a giving church. And may it not add up to a figure of money, but may it add up to a number of people who have given of themselves to each other, and in doing that have given themselves to the Creator of the universe. Let us pray. Creator God, thank you for all the gifts that you give us. May we never say that we have no gifts. May we never say that we have no brothers, no sisters. Because in your family we are all brothers and sisters. In your family you have blessed us with many gifts. And for those who find themselves in a space of being outside or feeling like they're outside, thank you that you stand with us as we in fact become your hands and feet and invite people in. And I want to pray that you would give to us vision over these next months and years ahead. A vision which sees that we are to love each other, and in so doing we love God, and in loving God we love the other who is also all around us. So in the name of God the Father who holds us and sustains us, in the name of God the Son called Jesus who reconciles and redeems all our relationships, and in the name of the Creator, Holy Spirit, who lives deep within us and gives to us the spark of life each day, as it were, We pray these things with gratitude and thanksgiving for you, Eternal One. And all God's people said,